G'day, Australia. Great to have your company. Jules Schiller with me this afternoon. And Jules, we've got a pretty eclectic lineup of stuff on the show today. Dennis Lilly, a little bit more of our interview that we had with him last week.
Yeah, one of the last remaining great Australian cricketers. No, but we can go back to a time when the test went for more than a couple of hours.
No, we can go back to a time with Dennis Lilly when we were proud. Remember that? Remember pride? Yeah, anyway. Dennis Lilly will be our guest later on the show today. I've got a bit of a secret surprise. I don't want to give it away, but it's called Adventure Island. That's coming up. We'll get an update on the Christchurch incident there with the earthquake. We'll have a chopper review. But up next, guys, this is all for you. A guy called Terry Virts is coming in, and he is an astronaut, a proper real astronaut, and he is going to take your questions. So if you've got a question about anything to do with space, travel, anything, nothing weird like astrology. He doesn't care about whether or not you're a Scorpio. He's not that kind of dude. But if you've got a question that doesn't involve poo
so
or wee,
questions.
That'd
yeah.
be brilliant.
Because if you're on Tinder in space, how you have to set your kilometres really wide to get anyone. So I'm just going to, what's online dating like in space?
He goes on to Tinder and he's just like,
there's
like a trillion.
He's just like a weird Russian
and
guy.
He can't swipe because he's got the thing on the end of his glove. He's just going, oh, glove. You can ask him any question you like. Give us a call. And now, start again, go now. 1-3-3-5-3 if you want to get in early and ask an astronaut a question.
Sometimes you think something's a good idea until you say it out loud.
If you've got a Hollywood leave pass, if my wife was to say it's Eric Skarsgård, I'd go, pretty good chance that that's not going to happen. You see, whereas what I've done is I've just made all my leave passes my wife's friends.
That is such a mistake. What are you doing?
American Australia. Triple M.
All right, that doesn't need to be a promo, that one. I mean, it's funny, but it was funny.
I'm writing that down.
Jules Schiller with me this afternoon. We're very excited because we've got astronaut Terry Virts joining us very soon. Now, he was expected to be here for the very start of the show, but he's just hit a little bit of a snag. His lunar rover, which he was driving here, it's got really crazy. It's got solar panels. So it's just like... hit a cloud and he's just conked out. So he's out in traffic right now. And also, too, that big bloody suit. You go, can I get out of the seat?
Well,
if he doesn't come in here with a helmet on, I'm going to snap.
He is coming in because now on the show, he's going to be very much at home because the studio basically has no atmosphere. So he's going to...
Oh, that's a shocking joke.
That's good. Oh, back then. You know, the funny thing is when he comes in, too, is that... like, it's really awesome meeting astronauts. I've met Andy Thomas, and I've also met Buzz Aldrin many years ago as well.
A few names.
Yeah, just a couple of name droppers. But anyway, what's funny is when they come in and you see them in, like, real human clothes as opposed to a spacesuit, you go, oh.
Gee, I just...
I was kind of hoping that you were going to be wearing 400 pounds of space gear. No, that's all right. You wear corduroy pants.
And a cardigan, yeah, sure. You're an astronaut.
Okay, so Terry Virts will be joining us very soon. If you do have a question that you would like to ask Terry, we've got some crackers already lined up. So if you want to ask him anything about space at all, you can. But if you want to know about the flu, Chopper's got you covered.
Yes, hello Australia, Chopper here. And this week, I'm talking about the flu. Around the world, about 500,000 people die from the flu every year, making it far more serious than death by clown, death by monkey attack, and death by getting your scarf caught in your bicycle wheel. Influenza, or the flu as it's often known, or Captain Sweaty's Purgatory Pyjama Party as it's never known, is a virus that causes fever, chills, headache and muscular pain. In short, it f***s your life right up. Well, let's have a look at the symptoms of the flu. First of all, the fever and chills. Generally, you feel like a frozen chicken that someone has tried to cook in the microwave. Some bits are frozen, some bits are too hot, and your skin's all pale and damp and floppy. Well, you also have crazy fever dreams, like normal dreams, except a lot more disturbing and real. Fever dreams go next level. Maybe one of your fingernails is loose, so you pull it off. Then your skin starts unravelling from you like a cheap cardigan. Then you find a friend who suddenly doesn't have eyes, and he says, oh, don't worry, and starts feeding your skin to his otter. Then him and his otter end up eating it in the way that Lady and the Tramp eat spaghetti in that movie. Then you wake up in sheets soaked with sweat, like you just went straight from the bath to your bed. They're relieved that you still have your skin, but you aren't quite sure if your friend owns an otter or not. Your bones will ache like you were stuffed in a shopping trolley and pushed down a fire escape, and your muscles will feel like you just ran a marathon with a hangover. Just walking to the toilet will make you feel like you've been crawling through the desert for a week, and even changing the channel takes so much effort that you may find yourself inexplicably watching breakfast television as you whisper, screw you, Koshy, you deflating beagle. A helpful way of keeping occupied when you have the flu is figuring out who gave it to you and then figuring out what sort of horrible revenge you will exact on them. For me, it was dressing as Mel Doyle and squeezing their eyes with my thumbs, then microwaving them. If you have the flu, just stay at home. Don't catch public transport, don't go to work, and don't go to an all-you-can-eat buffet without a sneeze guard. If chucking your sickie is one of the most Australian things you can do, then going out when you have the flu is practically joining ISIS. The flu is like getting every crap illness you can think of at once. If you say you have the flu and you don't have the flu, it's like lying about being a war veteran. You haven't seen what I've seen. The nightmares, the horrors, the cash cow. The flu gets half a star.
At last, the US election is over.
Are we losing our identity to America, Clinton?
Bloody oath we are.
Then why'd you call yourself Clinton?
America and Australia. Triple M.
Jules Shilley with me this afternoon. And if you're a fan of space and you're a fan of Terry Vert, that'd be handy, then you can go to School of Life Sydney tomorrow night and Melbourne on Wednesday. You can get details at theschooloflife.com. Terry's going to be appearing there at Wired for Wonder in Sydney and Melbourne, and he joins us in the studio now with his real proper actual astronaut jacket on. That jacket.
So I'm impressed.
I'm clapping that jacket. That's next level.
Found it at duty free at the airport. So, yeah.
It's got like every patch that I'd never deserve on it. It's terrific.
It's pretty heavy.
Is it
here on Earth?
It's a proper pilot's jacket, I suppose. Is it
like it is.
Because you're a test pilot originally, as well as being an astronaut?
That's true. Yeah, we wear this when we're flying, and it's a little bit cool outside.
Is this your first time in Australia, Terry?
It is.
Because you've seen us from above for so long. I feel like you've been perving on me up in the atmosphere. So what's it like up close?
It's amazing. I just got here literally, I just landed like a couple hours ago.
Okay. So,
but it was, I remember the first time I saw Australia from space, we put this big module on, seven windows, open up the shades, and all of a sudden it got really red inside the space station. And I thought, this is bizarre. And I went and looked out, and it was Australia. So
wow.
I've always thought of Australia as red.
Yeah.
Well,
it is in the middle.
You must be wrapped. It wasn't a fire. How wrapped were you? Can I try the jacket on? No, I can't. just kidding, Terry. Very shortly, I want to take some calls. We'll get to those people who have lots of
Let's
questions.
Do it.
But what I want to ask you a question first of all. Best space movie.
The best space movie. You know, while we were in space, we watched Gravity together as a crew. That was pretty fun.
What?
But I think the Right Stuff is the best one.
The Right Stuff is, if you haven't seen that.
You can't beat it.
And Space Cowboys.
After you saw Gravity, did you do a spacewalk with a fire extinguisher?
We keep one in our back pocket just in case.
I mean, when you watch movies like that in space, do you just go, it's just no way this could happen?
We got to chuckle, yeah. I mean, it's an animated movie. The animation was really accurate, but the physics were not quite right, but it was enjoyable. It was something to do on a Saturday night.
What do you mean by the physics weren't quite right? I mean, you know, first of all, explain to me what is physics, and then in 10 words or less.
Yeah. It's like math, only
right.
you're
losing me, Terry.
Yeah. Past grade six maths.
Let's get back to favorite movies. Yeah. The Dish. You would have seen the movie The Dish?
The Dish, yes. That movie is awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
You like that?
An Australian friend of mine gave it to me. Watched it. It was funny. Yeah, really good. Good story.
Did you know about that story? Did you know that we had a role in the space program many, many years ago?
I did. When I was a kid, my dad and my mom both worked at the local NASA center, and my dad would bring me in, and I would see this big map of the world, and you could see the different Guam and all around Africa, and there was the Australia radar site. You could see that there, so.
Okay, so you did know about it. That's good.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Justify us.
I did. And the Right Stuff, too. There was the Aboriginal scene with the fire and all that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a fantastic movie. And, I mean, of course, a space landing. Do you hope one day that we do that on Mars? Do you hope that humans one day? Is that something that you would like to see maybe your children do?
I think, the 20th century was the moon, and so I think the 21st century is going to be going to Mars.
But why are we in such a rush to get to somewhere that, I'm not going to lie, it looks a bit crap, Terry.
It's red.
I know.
It's like going to Australia.
Seriously, I could drive for a few hours and get into that gear. I don't need to go that far. So what, why are we so desperate to get to Mars?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. First of all, we're just explorers. I mean, that's how people found America. That's how, Australia was found by Captain Cook. So there's the exploration part, and there's also the being able to move and live other places, you know, like if there was a big asteroid coming to hit the Earth, it would be nice to.
Oh, is that a plan?
Have a backup plan.
Is that a plan B? Is that what you've been working on over there at NASA? So you've actually accidentally just let that out of the bag, haven't you, Terry? That actually, if you've just tuned in, Terry Virts is an astronaut. And he's just told us there's a gigantic asteroid headed for Earth. Some of it's called a super moon, but it's going to hit tonight, and it's all over. So if you don't have a ticket aboard Branson's ship, you're in big trouble.
Something like that.
Terry, what made you want to become an astronaut? Was it something, because little boys say it, you know, like, and in grade seven, we just become checkout chicks or work at a hardware store. You actually said it as a child and then went to do it. Yeah. I mean, how do you follow through on that?
So, yeah, the first book I read was about Apollo. And when I was a little kid, I just had a room full of space pictures and airplane pictures. And it's crazy. No one becomes an astronaut. But I always thought, well, what do you need to do? And so I knew I had to study math and physics.
Get that jacket.
I knew I had to go.
Get a wicked jacket.
Go to duty free and get the jacket. Become a pilot. So I kind of checked all the boxes thinking, well, you never know. And basically I didn't tell myself no. I just did everything. And then when it became time as a test pilot, I finally applied to NASA. And everybody assured me, this other guy's smarter, this guy's got more experience, this other guy's better looking, they're not going to pick you.
But you saw Maverick in the lineup?
Iceman, yeah.
Cougar. But Cougar gave up. He was number one, but he gave up.
So when you said you're a test pilot, were you in the Air Force? Is that how it
Air
works?
Force, yeah.
Okay, so you're flying what, Tomcats or something like that?
No, that's Navy. I was flying F-16s.
Oh, okay, of course, that's right. Okay, so you're flying F-16s and other military aircraft. And then they just go, okay, how do you feel about training up to fly the big ship?
It was. So, I mean, there's a big application process and lots. Like, we just had another class and we got over 18,000 applications. So a lot of folks apply.
Did you cheat?
I know you would be asked this, but this, I know we're going to have some callers soon, Terry. This would be probably one of the most common questions you'd be asked, but near-death experiences in any of the planes, you know, I've seen the right stuff and you see Chuck Yeager, you know, ejecting at fast speeds. Have you been through anything like that?
Well, it was funny. Just the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine about all the near-death experiences that I've had. I almost hit the ground a bunch of times. I had right at takeoff, I had a flock of birds and one of my engines exploded, and thankfully the other one didn't, so I came back around and landed.
Hey, what are you, Fabio?
A wingman of mine lost his engine over Iraq and glided into this airfield right on the Iranian border. Almost ran out of gas. I landed with the fuel truck. There was, according to that, there was 35 gallons of gas in my airplane. Airplanes hold a lot of gas, so I saved the receipt and I kept it taped to my office, so I had a lot of stories.
We're joined by Terry Virts, who's an astronaut and clearly a test pilot. If you've got a question for him, give us a call now, 133353. Just very, very quickly, Terry, what's the most amount of damage you've done to something? What have you absolutely totaled? How much was it worth? Tell me. Because I once dinged my dad's car.
That's a great, you know, probably that engine, that jet engine exploding was probably a few pounds. I don't know. I don't know exactly
just
how much.
Just ballpark. Millions? Have you done millions
of dollars? It was probably millions, yeah.
Yeah. It's good to meet somebody better than
me. Makes
me
feel better about a rental car that I did the taillight in a couple of years ago.
133353. Give us a call now if you've got a question for Terry Virts. Joined by astronaut Terry Virts, and we're doing this.
American Australians, ask an astronaut anything. Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're all going to be sexual questions, Terry, I'm afraid. Welcome to Australia. It's your first time?
It's my first time.
I'm only joking. We've got many people who want to ask you questions. Just really quickly, Terry, if you can answer this one. Dave Winstow, who got through to us on our social media, said, could you get a goldfish into a floating ball of water, and would it stay in the water or would it float out?
So that is a really cool question. You can go online and watch videos of this. When you make a water ball, this water kind of grows and grows and turns into a ball. And we would take M&Ms. We didn't take goldfish because that's kind of mean. But we would take M&Ms and throw them at the water. And if you didn't throw it hard enough or at an angle, it would bounce off. But if you threw it hard enough and straight in, it would, bam, go in the middle, and then it would just stay in the middle. It's really cool to watch.
So if you're at Houston, like, you know, at NASA headquarters, and you're watching that, just going, this is $1 billion well spent.
Was that
a billion-dollar M&M.
Version of darts, was it? Just chucking it. That's great.
It was fun. It's really cool.
Well, thanks for answering that. Let's get to your questions now. We've got Tom on the line. G'day, Tom. Speak to an astronaut.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on, boys. And Terry, thank you very much for answering all these questions.
Hello, Tom.
Boys, mate, Can you describe the thrust and the G-forces when you launch with the shuttle, please?
Sure. The space shuttle was amazing. I mean, that was like a big muscle car. It was about 7 million pounds of thrust. Those two white solid rocket boosters on the side have solid rocket fuel, which means lots and lots of vibration. And when they lit, there was a giant bang. I launched at nighttime. The night turned into day, and you were just shaking. I couldn't even read the gauges in front of me. That lasted for about 2 minutes. And then when the solid rocket boosters popped off and parachuted down into the ocean, it really smoothed out. The three main engines were pretty smooth, and the G-forces built up to about 3 Gs, which is three times your body weight, which as a F-16 pilot, we used to pull 9 Gs. But the thing about the 3 Gs is they stayed there and stayed there and stayed there and stayed there for 8.5 minutes. So, and that's why you get going to accelerate so fast. On the Soyuz, it was similar to that, but it wasn't like vibrations the way the shuttle was, because there's no solid rockets. And it was much more violent. When in staging, there'd be a giant bang, and you'd float for a few seconds, and then the second stage would light bang, and then you'd be back in your seat, like you see in Hollywood movies. Mm.
Well, it's not American made, Terry. That's yeah.
Did they actually stash vodka in there, like in Gravity? We're talking about that movie, the Russian cosmonauts.
What I could say is the American segment of the space station does not have alcohol.
The old Ruskies, yeah. Though. Okay, we've got another question from one of our callers, Terry, if you don't mind. We've got Michael. Hello, Michael.
G'day, mate. How are you? It's an honor to talk to you as an astronaut, Terry.
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, just had a question. You're probably already having a few from Gravity. In the movie, the female astronaut starts to cry. Now, I would suspect that tear would not depart from her face, but in the movie it does. Could you clarify whether it actually would happen or not?
Ooh, yeah, that's a great observation. Michael? So I flew with an Italian lady, Samantha Cristoforetti, so we were happy with how they cast us in the movie with Sandra Bullock and So anyway, but you're absolutely right. When you... like if water touches you, it kind of gets sucked into you and makes a film over top of you. So if you did something like you shook your head or you squeezed your eye real hard or something, you might be able to pop it off. But liquid kind of stays attached, and it requires an active something to push it away.
Did you ever have a moment where you were so overwhelmed by what you were seeing down on planet Earth? You know, that distance, that understanding that you are viewing the planet that you were born on. Do you get that emotional? Does anybody get that emotional where they just go and have a little bit of a cry?
Well, it wasn't that's a great point. It wasn't necessarily emotional. It was just the realization that it's like you're looking down on creation. At times, I felt like I was
You've got a God complex, Jared. Oh, my God.
It was like you were seeing things that humans weren't meant to see sometimes. And Samantha had a great perspective. She described it as, you could see that the Earth was a spaceship flying through the universe, and you know, we should consider ourselves crewmates and not passengers on the spaceship.
That's great. That's good. I like that one.
Credit.
Let Donald Trump know that one. Pass that on. Let's get to another question for Terry Virtan, astronaut Danny in Campbelltown. G'day, Danny.
G'day, boys. How are you this afternoon?
Good, very Danny. Good.
All right, your question?
Just a quick question. Wondering what the fastest/highest you've gone as a test pilot would have been.
So in an airplane or in a spaceship? In an airplane, the highest I've gone is 50,000 feet, which that's kind of the limit. Unless you're wearing a pressure suit, you're not supposed to go above that, because if you had a problem in the canopy depressurized, then you would die. So 50,000 feet. And
just write
Mach,
that down. I'll just
Mach 2.1. Mach 2.1. 2.1 times the speed of sound was the fastest I've gone.
I love, in your career, if you have the slightest problem, you die. Like, you know, if our indicator doesn't work, we pull over and get it sorted out. But it's just amazing.
It makes it simple.
What about sonic boom, Terry? If you're actually piloting the craft and you reach that point where you break the speed sound and you reach sonic boom, how do you know if you've reached sonic boom?
The only real way...
Do you feel it?
You don't. You just look at your gauge, and your gauge, you know,
just says sonic boom, and you're like, yeah.
It's funny. The altimeter goes crazy because right around the supersonic, it's hard to measure airspeed. So your altimeter and your airspeed kind of jumps around, and then you go a little bit faster than that, and then it smooths out.
Terry, we've got to let you go because you've got so many more commitments. I'm very, very grateful for your time, for coming and having a bit of a chat, and also too for speaking to my listeners as well. You can go and see Terry. You'll be appearing at Wired for Wonder in Sydney and Melbourne. For details, you can go to theschooloflife.com. Terry.com. Terry will answer all of your questions. He won't go home until he's answered every single one of your questions. He will not eat food or take water until he's answered all of your questions. That is a guarantee, isn't it, Terry?
And I'm passing the hard ones on to you.
And you'll be in tears as well, and we'll see them rise up off your face.
They'll float away.
Terry Vert, an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys. Good to be in Australia.
Jules Shilley with me this afternoon, and Jules, tragically, as you know, last night Christchurch experienced an earthquake measuring 7.5 on the Richter scale. It's torn up roads, destroyed some buildings, and tragically, two people have lost their lives. Now, Jules, both you and I have been to Christchurch before a few years ago, but you also went there in 2011, just after the massive quakes they had then.
Yeah, I mean, this was the big quake they had after the previous one they didn't expect and thought might have calmed down, but obviously not, Merrick. So for the residents of Christchurch, you know, this must be, again, really unsettling because so many people left after the second earthquake, and now there's been another one.
Well, somebody who did stay when her friends left Christchurch after the 2011 earthquakes is Vicky Bailey. She joins us on the line from New Zealand now. How are you, Vicky?
Hi, not too bad, thank you.
How are you guys feeling as a community, as a city? How's Christchurch? Are you kind of bouncing back quickly and it's business as usual yet, or is there still a bit of shock like there was 5 years ago?
Bit of a combination of both, actually. I think, certainly business as usual today. Like once the buildings were all checked this morning, schools and all that sort of thing, and obviously corporate offices, then it was kind of just, get back into it. But I suppose just emotions and nerves are a bit rattled, and we just kind of know what might be coming after this, just, expecting some more severe aftershocks. So, it's just still, even though we've experienced probably 10,000 of these things, it's still an unnatural feeling, I guess.
It is a really unnerving feeling, an aftershock, isn't it, Vicky? Especially, because it does get the adrenaline going, especially after you've experienced an actual earthquake. Where were you in 2011? Were you in Christchurch then?
Yeah, I sure was. I was at work. It was lunchtime. I was, in the early stages of pregnancy, so I was feeling a bit average. Had just been down the road to get a ginger beer and, was about to sit down and have lunch. And, things just started pretty violently shaking. So, we sort of got under the desks and it just, I guess we really weren't expecting that one, even though we'd obviously had the 7.1 in September. Mm. But just the house best that one was, I'll just never forget that. Last night's one was certainly a big one and it went for a really long time. It just seemed to go on and on and on. But
so when you say,
roller.
What's a really long time, Vicky? I've experienced tremors as well. I've experienced earthquakes, but on a very, very small scale. How long did it go for last night?
I would say about 2 minutes. I'm not sure of the exact number, but
in
2 minutes
so
when things
long.
Are moving and swaying is, long time.
Being there in 2011, Vicky, I didn't realise how ravaged, Christchurch was by that quake. I mean, the electricity was off, the plumbing was gone. I remember getting trowels and we were having to dig toilets in the ground, which is something we do here in Tasmania, but not, that's usual. But I mean, that's how bad, and there was all the goop coming out from the ground onto the roads. I mean, it was really devastating, wasn't it?
Oh, it seriously was. And I mean, that liquefaction, obviously, that was a big aspect of what happened. And, so much of the damage was under the ground as well. So it's just, I think for us now we're getting impatient because we're wanting to see the city come back to life. But I think we're also understanding just what a big job there still is to be done. And I guess every earthquake we have, we're kind of like, okay, is this going to set us back even further now?
Vicky, I've got to ask, you and the community there in Christchurch, have you guys ever heard of the Gold Coast? Because it's a bit easier than Christchurch. It's sunny, there's beaches, you can swim in the beaches, the water's warm.
I am aware of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
You should Google it, Vicky. Google it now.
No, seriously.
Just type in
Queensland. Have a look at Queensland. Some really special stuff going on in Queensland. I reckon you guys would be into it. So,
It's an option anyway.
Well, one thing, Vicky, you can always take pleasure in is the All Blacks. They never lose. Oh, they did lose. Sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up.
What? Why would you do that?
Trying to make it feel better.
The city's been crushed twice. And they did bring up the crushing defeat by the All Blacks. Oh, wow.
Okay, Vicky. Aside from that, Richie McCaw, our ex-All Black captain, is now a helicopter pilot. And today he's been going up the coast, like, rescuing, because there's people trapped in tiny little spots along the coast, like south of Kaikoura, between Christchurch and Kaikoura. So he's been basically going in his chopper and airlifting them out today. So he's a bit of a hero.
He is. He's a great guy, Richie McCaw.
How do you feel now, Jules? What an arsehole, isn't he?
He makes everyone feel inferior, though. He's a freak. He's a superhuman. Thank you.
Well, listen, Vicky, we wish you and everybody else in Christchurch all the very best for the clean-up and also going forward as well. And just be safe.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Yep, we
take
shall.
Care.
All right. Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Vicky.
See ya. Bye.
Some life advice from Merrick Watts.
If you don't know who the dickhead is in the room,
you're the dickhead. Yeah.
American Australia, Triple M.
I think we all knew the answer to that one before that even got finished. Jules Schiller's with me this afternoon. It might be a Monday, but we've got a special edition. Here we go.
Stop spending money on festivals and buy a house. Is there any form of advertising that's any poxier?
Julian Schiller's.
I don't want to see an animal at a zoo that I can see in a public toilet.
Media botch.
What am I going? I can't listen back to this segment. It's too nuts.
It's like when I hear promos.
Is it appropriate for a Monday to do this? This is where I just go nuts over stories that have annoyed me.
Yep.
Okay. All right, you ready?
Fire away.
It can fail spectacularly, this.
No,
all right,
don't
here
be
we
nervous.
Go.
You'll be fine. Go on.
There's an article. It was in, I think it was in the Daily Life on Fairfax, about girls who are giving birth and who they should consider inviting into the delivery room, Miz, while they're giving birth. And this argument suggested that girls should invite their fathers in. So a girl who's giving birth while she's there should... because what a good idea. That's not weird, is it? A girl is meant to think, hey, even though Dad's right outside and he can see the baby almost immediately, what the hell? I'm in stirrups. I'm half naked. Dad, get in now. Christ, what else? Get a couple of ex-boyfriends in there. Get the cleaner involved. The junkie who washed your windscreen on the way in. Hey, come. This is just so ridiculous. It's gone from one extreme to the other, Merrick. Remember when your dad... The dad used to be at the pub.
At the pub.
There used to be no one in there. Now you're selling Ticketex through a box office. It's like weddings. Remember when guys used to just have one best man up on the altar? Mm. There used to be one bloke. Sure, he was probably sleeping with your wife behind your back in the early days. But you're solid now. Now we have groomsmen. We used to have two or three. Now it's about 80. Yeah. There's more people on the altar than the... off. Even Uncle Graham, who's never been married and visits Thailand regularly, is up there. Groomsman's ridiculous. Sounds like the name of the most tragic boy band ever. All right, sorry. So many groomsmen now.
Got tangential, but I enjoyed that one very much.
Second story. Right. I don't know if you see this. The project has been asked to a petition that Steve Price should be apologised to for being bullied, because there was some discussion in it. I think it was Jamila Ravzi. I don't know, but she's works my... Now, I've watched the footage, because 20,000 people have signed a petition saying that Steve Price should be apologised to. And I don't have a political inclination. I don't support one either way. I watched the footage very closely, Merrick, and what happened? I don't give a... I can't say it.
That was so close.
That was slipping on me. I did go back, and what... I still don't give a... All right, so Steve Price was talking, and he got cut off after 4 seconds. And the petition says... Nobody should have to experience what he experienced. What is he experiencing? Getting paid $1,000 to sit in a TV studio for an hour? I'll get bullied for that. I was on that show a couple of times, and let me tell you, it was great. They never asked me back. I wonder why. I was doing a cross for that show once at the Royal Easter Show. Carrie Bickmore cut me off after about 8 seconds, and guess what? I'm doing fine. What? You know what we need a change.org petition for? To get rid of change.org.
Merrick loves hearing your opinions.
If you don't agree with me, then you can get stuffed.
Merrick and Australia, Triple M.
That's normally just reserved for the producers of the program. they laugh, but they go, no, it's a bit true. Jules Schiller with me this afternoon. Great to have your company, Australia. For the big question today, I want to do something a little bit different. I was with my wife in Adelaide on the weekend. Love Adelaide, as you know. With some caught up with some friends, had a good time, but staying in a hotel.
Okay, sounds pretty normal.
And on Saturday, we said, went and had a bit of lunch, and then we said, all right, let's watch it. We didn't have our kids with us. So we said, let's just watch a movie. And I know, not that like, oh. We don't
You're in a hotel without your kids?
Movie. Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we do what every married couple wants to do, which is sleep. And so anyway, he said, oh, look, let's watch Jason Bourne. That's a good movie.
Oh, not the movie that doesn't appear in your bill. Not that sort of movie.
No, because Georgie would have witnessed the bit where I said, this doesn't come up in your bill. Anyway, so I said, let's watch Bourne. She goes, great.
Oh, Bourne. Okay, Bourne.
Bourne. Jason Bourne. Jason Bourne.
B-O-U-R-N.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So I'm watching the movie, and there's like a buffering issue. So I ring reception, and I say, look, there's some sort of buffering going on. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to fix it. And I said, oh, okay. Look, just give us a minute, and we'll look into it for you. And I thought, oh, okay, what the problem would do is just, you know, I don't know, turn the tape off or whatever it is they do down in the lobby. Then all of a sudden, George and I are just laying on the bed, and I'm not going to lie, I'm in a hotel room, so I'm not wearing any clothes. Why would I? I'm in a hotel room.
Yeah, you just, you know,
there's no
nookie.
There's no nookie. As I said, we're married, so there's no nookie. It's just we're just stripped down to just doing the basics.
Lying naked watching Matt Damon.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much a pair of us. So we're just in our underwear, and all of a sudden, around the corner comes this guy. He's just standing in our room. We're like, what are you doing, mate? And he goes, oh, concierge. I'm here about the movie problem.
I'm here to buffer you.
What are you doing? I said, and because he just came out of nowhere. It was like that Homer Simpson episode where he just comes out of the bushes. He just appeared out of a wall like he was Terminator. He's just come out. We're like, and I'm just laying there. In my undies, and they're not good Reg Grundies either. They're pretty shabby.
Well,
and
in Adelaide, they'd probably be pretty. Maybe buffering is a code word in the hotel. Maybe you ring up the staff and just go,
ooh,
I've got a buffering issue. And they go, oh, I understand. And they send.
And
sort
they
of,
said, we'll send an awkward man in his early 20s.
To get involved.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So this guy is just coming. He goes, I'm sorry. He goes, I thought I pressed the buzzer a couple of times. Did you not hear? And I go, if I heard the buzzer, I probably would have put some pants on. That's my first reaction to hearing the buzzer is not have a lack of pants on.
Okay, right.
At least, I would have at least pulled the sheet over my body. I would have done something like that. But he's just standing there. It was awkward for him. It was awkward for Georgie. And we were fine. We just went, you know, this stuff happens. But like, we're just like, imagine if he'd walked in. Look, this, for starters, here's what you do, Tiger. If the door buzzer doesn't work, it's old fashioned. Yeah. It's the thing at the end of your elbow, that's a hand. And what you do is you use the hand in repetition on the door. Give that a crack. If that doesn't work, use the same implement at the end of your elbow to pick up the phone and ring us before you come into our bedroom at night whilst we're laying on the sheets with no clothes on.
I mean, what you're saying, imagine if you weren't married. I mean, that would have been really awkward then.
If you hadn't committed to each other. We would have been having sex. Absolutely spot on. 133353. The big question today is hotel workers, people who have worked in the industry, what have you seen? What have you gone? What have you, when you've walked into a room, like, I don't know, maybe you've walked in and you've just seen the fridge upside down on the bed. I don't know. Weird stuff happens in hotels.
Yeah. I always have nightmares about getting that blue light, that CSI light. You know, when you go into a hotel room and see.
Well, we pack one.
Because I reckon you'd be horrified, wouldn't you?
You'd never stay in a hotel again, would you, if you had a blue light? Don't black light, whatever it is, don't. Anyway, well, opening up to people who've worked in the hotel industry, what have you seen when you've entered a room or what have you seen in a hotel? Just full stop. Because I know these are the cracking stories. Whatever it is, if we'll try and put some stuff to air, there'll be stuff that you know that we can't put to air. So maybe give us an alternative story or alternative wording.
Yeah, just Do movie analogies.
Yeah, just help us.
Yeah, he was
help
borning.
Yeah, we've got lots of calls. Okay. Oh, they're borning.
Well, borning's all right. That's
just
topical.
We were just watching a bloody Hollywood blockbuster. It's a great film.
Merrick has the best callers in Australia.
All right, what have you done at your school?
A couple of mates and I got some witch's hats, got to the school really early. Now, our school's on a main road, and we directed peak hour traffic through the little road in the school, and so the school's trying to contact the council to find out what's happening with the road.
Merrick in Australia, Triple M.
Jules Shilley with me this afternoon, 13353. We're asking you, if you're a hotel worker, what have you seen? We've got lots of calls coming through. Leon, my producer, is just running the black light over these calls to make sure that they're safer on air, because there might be some stories that are not safer on air, but we're looking for the ones that are. Should we kick it off with Anthony? Hello, Ant.
G'day, Merrick. How you going, mate?
Very good, mate. All right. Okay. You've worked in the hotel industry?
I did for about 25 years, yeah.
Wow. You should have some tales. What have you seen? Give us some of the hits.
I can tell you some I can't, but I got one good one that I remember very clearly. The bar I used to manage, to get from back of house to back of house, we had to walk out around the pool deck to get to the cool room out the back.
Mm-hmm.
I flipped the door open one afternoon early evening, and there's two girls naked jumping in the pool. There's a guy sitting on the edge of the pool with a girl, and let's say she wasn't talking very much, but he was very happy.
I think I've seen this movie.
It was like a scene from a movie. See, okay. I didn't know what way to look. I didn't know whether to look at the view outside the window or the view inside the window. But when I said, I don't think you're meant to be here, they were like, oh, no, we've got the royal suite book. We're allowed up here. And I just said, I don't think that's the case. And they sort of... Apparently, they'd come up and chock the door open to the pool that afternoon and come up through the fire stairs and were having their own private orgy in the pool.
isn't that a conflict of terms there, with a private orgy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like...
My understanding is it's pretty much free for all. That's the whole
that's
point.
That's the only orgy I could have, would be an orgy for one. A private orgy. Is that even possible? If so, I've been there.
I can imagine you ordering it just for one, thank you.
Just orgy for one.
Just orgy for one, thank you. And a glass of Moselle.
Oh, come on. Let's go. I don't want the visual image of this any longer in my head.
All right, let's get to another call. Let's get Colin. Hello, Cole.
How you going?
Very good, mate. You worked in hotels?
No. I stayed at one once in, should I say the name of the town?
No. Town?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Gisborne.
Okay. Gisborne, right, yep.
We were dirt bike riding for the weekend, stayed at this place, and as we walked into the room, the male bloke that was running the place sort of was running out of the room that we moved into. And so I noticed this, like, sort of bizarre sort of set up with the cupboards, and there was this void on top, and I climbed up on top and had a look, and there was a bunch of strange magazines and some sort of device there.
A device is not a good word.
A device. Let us just say we slept with the doors locked that night, and not a comfortable night.
So it was a guy in there with magazines and a device. Is that what you're saying? I don't know if I should expand on this.
Are a little bit. I just want a little bit. No, I just need to know something. So he had a cupboard. He purpose built a cupboard. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there was a void on the top where it should have been a cupboard, but it just had a blank panel, and I thought that was a bit strange for a hotel. Looked over the top of it, and there you go.
Oh, the perverts need to work a bit more on their carpentry skills, don't they, Colin? Yeah. They really do.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be good with some tools, but they're not great with all of them. They're great with devices, though.
Devices? That just suggests so many wrong things. All right. No, you're saying no. Let's not explore the devices. All right. But it's probably an episode of The Block that wouldn't go to air.
Explore you. I think the devices. Okay. Benno. Hello, Benno.
How you going, Mezza?
Very good, mate. All right, we're talking about what you've seen in hotels.
Mate, my sister used to be room service at one of the major hotel chains in Melbourne, and she was room service for Green Day, and upon knocking on the door and the door opening, she delivered the tuna and cheese sandwiches that they'd ordered, and Billy Joe, the lead singer, answered the door, totally starkers, and let's just say he was one of the most God-gifted men, luckily,
son of a bitch,
given that my sister has ever seen. Yeah,
we're worried this is going to be defamatory, but it's kind of the opposite.
I was really hoping you're going to say, and let's just say cashew nut, but no, you've. So he's in a rock band. He's hugely talented in a rock band, and he's loaded. And then he answers the door and goes, "Oh, sorry, did you not realise I was given the trifecta? God gave me the trifecta there."
Yeah,
exactly, mate. Yeah,
Trifecta, tripod, the whole. It got. Thanks, Benno. Cheers. Jules Shilley with me this afternoon. Last week, Jules and I caught up with Dennis Lilly, who is just a bloody legend. He's a terrific bloke, DK. He can still cut a rug too. And I would know that because only a few years ago, Jules, I went on a sportsman's weekend and Dennis Lilly was one of the blokes there who was part of the sportsman's weekend. And do you reckon he remembered me? Not a chance. I just want to let Jules in on a little bit of personal knowledge that I've got. About 5-6 years ago, I was at a sportsman's night. I was hosting it in Queensland at Port Douglas, Jules. And Dennis was there, and he doesn't remember me. That's fair enough. I understand that.
You're very memorable.
Yeah. Moved on from it.
And anyway, it was a great night. There was a lot of sportsmen there, and it was a really good, and it was a very clean and very well-run sportsman's night. And later on, we thought, you know, let's just go into town and we'll have a couple of quiet beverages. And we went to a disco, and I'm not joking, Dennis Lilly cuts a rug.
Did you?
Sick on the dance floor. Holy shit. I thought, geez, I always thought he was fast on the cricket pitch. You should see him when he's on the parquetry floor.
What a take the piss. He knows I can't dance. I don't even go on the floor.
I don't know who to believe. I'm caught.
Mate, Dennis Lilly on the sprinklers. The pistols were out. It was all happening. The hands were going.
I think you were pistoled.
Are you really not a dancing man?
Couldn't dance to save myself.
Right. But you know what was interesting, Dennis?
Johnny Revolting.
You know what's serious though? We went and had a couple of drinks, and the amount of blokes, young blokes of all generations and you know, young women as well, who just instantly recognized you as Dennis Lilly and wanted to come over and shake your hand and realize that, you know, you're the great man of the sport. Is it ever in your life got tiresome? Because I watched you and you said hello to every single person that came up to you.
No, it doesn't. The only time that it does get to me is if I'm with my family. Mm-hmm. Any other time, I've got all the time in the world for people, and I'm happy to do it and always have.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that lesson from a guy called Wesley Hall, who was one of the great fast bowlers of all time, who lined kids up outside the, you know, where he was sitting in the dressing room or whatever, and he signed every single one, and he said something to everyone. And I just think that's important. Even you just say hello, you know, how you going? Do you enjoy the game, or, you know, play cricket, or what do you do? You know, just something like that. Some just get the paper and they, you know, you can hear them, you know, across. I think everyone deserves a chance to sort of at least say hello and get something, you know, like a signature from someone, hello. It's easy. It's not that difficult.
Mate, and you should say, I was really surprised, Jules, because, you know, he was there dancing, Bacardi Coke in one hand, stubby beer in another. Yeah.
Skrillex on, jungle and bass.
Had an illusion shaker, he was pouring. He ripped his shirt off and poured the drinks over his chest and still had time to say hello to a couple of fans.
The gold necklace still there.
How can I answer that?
Hey, can I ask, because reading this book, you know, there's bits in it from Gordon Greenidge and Michael Holding and all those guys. And when we think about that Windies pace attack, we always hear from the batsmen talking about what it was like to face those guys. But you often don't ask bowlers because you're the least equipped to deal with pace attacks, and you've already bowled quickly at them in a previous innings. So what is it like as a person who's not known for their batting to have faced that attack?
And do you think, good question.
I bounced Holding. Now he's gonna come back at
well,
me.
Well, look, it's interesting because there was years ago, a lot of people, young people, wouldn't remember or realise this. There was a pact almost. You don't bounce 9, 10, 11. You don't bounce guys that in those days couldn't handle a bat very well.
Yeah.
I didn't believe in that. So I didn't care. I just bounced them.
You didn't care.
If they got a bat, well, if they got a bat in their hand, I think they're fair game. You know, if they can't handle the bat, get out.
I mean, they've got something there to protect them, haven't they?
Yeah.
They had a cloth helmet.
Yeah, they're not up against a wall throwing balls at them.
And when, you know, I'm not being smart, but when Tomo, you know, and I've dropped names here, Tomo and I were bowling. We were bowling pretty quick. Most of them were trying to play us from the square leg umpire anyway. So they're never going to hurt them. They're just going to strain a hammy getting out there, you know. But But anyway, getting back to it, being not being flippant, but it was not that easy because you weren't trained. And what happens is, you know, you didn't train to face the best bowls. And when you were at practice, you got the dregs of the bowling. At the end of the day, when all the batsmen had a bat, it's getting dark. You got these guys that often ran in faster than they bowled. So they passed the ball in flight, you know?
Yeah.
So what practice is that? Yeah. So, yes, when you then came up against Andy Roberts and that, it was frightening. But I just sort of thought, well, I'll give it a go anyway.
Merrick Watts, the Good Samaritan.
I once returned a woman's purse that I found as well. There was about 150, 180 bucks. This is when I was a young bloke.
You left all the money in there.
I rang her up and I said, I found your purse. She came around, took the purse, didn't even give me a tenner.
Mm.
So now I know where she lives and I'm just waiting for the right time to break into her house and take that cash.
Merrick in Australia, Triple M.
Yeah, just trying to help out the kids of the future there with a little bit of advice. Jules Shilley with me this afternoon. Great to have your company, Australia. And a lot of people now are preparing for the Christmas holidays, and some people might, you know, be jetting overseas, might be going to Bali, or they might be going to catch up with family, something like that. And sometimes it can be a great time, and sometimes it can be a little underwhelming.
Mm.
I'm going to change that for someone because I'm actually having, and I don't want to be rude, but I'm having a reasonably underwhelming Christmas holiday.
What are you doing?
Taking a road trip, destination, mum's house. No, not kidding.
Is that a road trip?
Mate, I've got to dress
I mean,
it
road
up.
Trip's like you get some R&B music, mate. You get the convertible down, you're headed to Vegas with the wolf pack.
Nah, this, I've got to dress it up because I'm literally driving my children who are going to be the, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Duo. To your mum's house.
I'm driving them to my mum's place. So I either say I'm driving to mum's place or I put a bit of shine on it and call it a road trip to mum's place. But I'm actually just driving to my mum's place, and that's where we're having our holidays, at my mum's house. We're having 2 weeks of Christmas holidays at my mum's house. I love you, Mum, but you are not Bali.
It's probably almost as bad for me. I'm going to a place, because I'm seeing my family in Melbourne, and we're going to a place called, it's called Safety Beach.
It sounds perfect for
Sounds
you.
Sounds good. Hey, who wants to be safe? How cool is this? We're just so safe on this beach.
Where should we park the Volvo?
Yeah. You've got Excitement Cove and Temptation Island. We're at Safety Beach. Hey, kids, feeling safe yet?
Get out of the water, kids. Yeah. Only knee deep, remember? Listen, I want to change all that because I know that a lot of people, like I said, are gearing up for reasonably underwhelming Christmas holidays. Well, what I want to do is I want to take you on a pre-holiday holiday. Next Friday, we're going to be taking a bunch of you guys to Adventure Island.
Woo-hoo! I thought there was going to be... Oh, there's the music.
American Australia's Adventure Island. Nothing beats a summer of Sea-Doo family fun. From just $7,999, visit Sea-Doo.com. Triple M.
Thanks to Sea-Doo, I'm going to take a bunch of you guys and you can bring a friend and we're going to go to Adventure Island. Can't say the real name of the island for legal reasons. Don't worry about that. It's not important. The important thing is we're going to have Sea-Doos there and we're going to cut sick and have an awesome holiday with us guys hanging out, having a good time. No families. And we're just going to have fun and just do fun things. And it's going to be that holiday that we have so that when we're driving to Mum's place, we just go, I've had a holiday. I feel great. I'm in such a good mood because I went to Adventure Island. But I'm at my mother's house for 2 weeks where I grew up as a child. That's all right.
But when you come back, if a guy wins, comes back to his partner or wife, you've got to say, oh, wasn't that great?
Oh, absolutely.
He talked it up, but it was... Yep. God, it was boring.
What happens on Adventure Island stays on Adventure Island unless it's really funny and we bring it back and we talk about it forever because that's the way it's going to go. And not only am I going to take a group of people with me and they can bring a friend and we have lots of fun times and do great things like caning around on Sea-Doos, have good times, we are going to give someone on the island a brand new Sea-Doo Spark 60 horsepower 2-up to take home with them. Slightly inconvenient given the location.
Yeah.
You're going to have to...
You have to commute.
It's going to be a bugger for you to get that in the overhead locker. I'll tell you that right now. But that's not going to be my problem. The problem is having a great time. And we got that sorted because we're going to Adventure Island. We've got the music again. The music was great.
Okay. Merrick's giving you a pre-holiday holiday.
Are you ready for summer?
American Australia's Adventure Island. Thanks to Sea-Doo. Triple M.
Give us a call now, 133353. Do you have an underwhelming holiday planned? Coming up for the Christmas holidays, is it slightly underwhelming? Are you like me? Are you going to drive to your childhood home for 2 whole weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Off to a caravan park.
Yep.
Safety Beach. No, Safety Beach is a very nice area, by the way. I sound like I'm bagging it out. But to everyone listening in Safety Beach, stay safe.
Yeah. It's not exactly Kuta Lines, is it?
No,
though?
It's still, not.
Yeah, that's all right. Sometimes we all have underwhelming holidays. We'll take your calls next. And as I said, not only am I going to take a group of guys to Adventure Island, somebody's going to walk away with their very own Sea-Doo.
Merrick's giving you a pre-holiday holiday.
Are you ready for summer?
American Australia's Adventure Island. Thanks to Sea-Doo. Yeah. Triple M.
Nothing beats a summer of Sea-Doo Family Fun from just $7,999. Visit Sea-Doo.com. From first-hand experience, I can tell you those things are wicked.
Mm.
Yeah, so, well, it's not surprising that I enjoy personal watercraft.
Mate, they go faster than Australian test innings.
Oh.
Just bang! Look at you miss it. That's it. Well, that's how quick they are.
Well played, Sheila. For your chance to come to Adventure Island with me next week and your opportunity to also win your very own Sea-Doo, head to the win page at triplem.com.au and tell us what crappy family holiday have you got coming up. Maybe like me, you're going to be driving to Mum's place. Poor Mum right now is crying into a cup of tea.
Oh, yeah. Your Mum's, going, you know, I'm sure she'll put a lot of effort in. And
going to Mum's place. Spent the first 25 years there. Pretty familiar. It's all right. Across. Okay, let's move on to your calls. Hello, Roscoe.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Really good, mate. All right, what are you doing? What underwhelming family holiday you got planned for Christmas?
Very underwhelming. I've recently separated from my wife, and so I've moved to Melbourne, started a new job, got no holidays. My mother-in-law's taking my wife and kids to Port Douglas for their Christmas holiday.
Oh, Roscoe.
And my brother, feeling sorry for me, has invited me down to his house for 2 days because that's all the time I've got.
Where's his house?
In Blairgowrie.
Oh, okay. Blairgowrie's all right.
That's all right on the coast.
Yeah,
there.
That's not too bad down the peninsula. That's all right.
It's a pity invite. That's what you're saying, though.
Yeah, it is.
It's a sympathy. It's a sympathy. Oh my God, my brother is going to be not having no holidays. And his wife probably said, "Don't invite him."
I wouldn't have a social life if it wasn't for those.
Oh.
Don't diss the pity invites.
Yeah, look, Jules lives off them. It's a good thing. But you know, look, let's be honest. So Blairgowrie, good. That's not a bad thing,
place,
Roscoe.
Yeah.
But it's not Port Douglas.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, probably rubbed a bit of salt in your wound. Thanks for sharing, though, Roscoe. Let's get to Mick in Mudgee. Mick.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Very good, mate. All right. Underwhelming family holiday coming up?
Yeah, camping with 4 kids, no water, no power, down in Jarvis Bay.
Okay.
Oh, Jarvis Bay's good, though, Mick.
Yeah, it's a nice spot, but no water, no power, and 4 kids at all.
So
can play on their iPads.
Are you digging the toilets when you say no water? There's no toilets there? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much, mate. Yeah, so we're digging. Or in a bag.
Yeah, so you get to truck in all your water, Mick, which means that, you know, you're not sharing as much. But also, too, the kids have got enough power. You must have a Jenny or something like that if you're going to be running power for iPads because they're going to burn through that. But you can't have fresh water.
No, well, I'm not taking the Jenny, mate. No iPads when we go camping.
Oh, no,
there's
iPads.
No iPads. That was the true horror of it,
Oh,
Merrick.
Jesus, Mick. That means you're going to have to talk to their faces.
Yeah.
And you'll just see how much they can really ignore you.
Oh, Mick, when you said no iPads. Oh, okay, all right. Mick and everybody else is calling through. Make sure that you register online, as I said, at triplem.com.au and tell us about your crappy holiday, as they've just done. Just register there. And Mick and Roscoe, you guys do it as well. Get on there because you could also win your Sea-Doo as well. Let's get to another caller, though. We've got Zach. Hello, Zach.
Hi, how are you going?
All right, mate. You've got an underwhelming family holiday coming up?
Yeah, taking 2 kids under 3 to the Blue Mountains.
Okay.
You know, they're not going to fit a dual pram on the bushwalking track, so we're going to have to carry them around and hopefully not, you know, summer season.
Sounds like the worst episode of Getaway ever, doesn't it? Just lugging 2 kids around the Blue Mountains.
Zach, now, hang on a second. Blue Mountains are a beautiful part of the world, but do you live close to the Blue Mountains? Do you live in Sydney?
I live down south now near Campbelltown.
Okay, so essentially you're going to drive for a roughly 35-minute journey, and then you're going to get out and walk through an area notorious for deadly snakes and funnel web spiders.
And bushfires.
And bushfires.
Yeah, don't forget the fire.
Bushfires.
And also people routinely get lost in for weeks.
Yeah, particularly ones carrying kids. Zach, thank you very much. Everybody, if you want to come with me to Adventure Island next week, which is going to be so many thousands times better than that, then all you have to do is register for your chance to be there. Head to the win page at triplem.com.au. Tell us what crappy family holiday you have coming up, and we'll see if we can better it as we upgrade you to a pre-holiday holiday.
Merrick has clocked off after another hard-working day.
It's almost like a real job I've got.
For even more, subscribe to the Merrick and Australia podcast on iTunes or with your favourite Android app. Triple M.